Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Shkolim Daf Tes. We are seven lines from the top of the Amud, beginning with the parentheses. Tani, we learned in a Brice, Yavish Kezayis. We're picking up on the topic we began yesterday regarding the Shir of Hoytzoas Shabbos. If one carries out some wine into the street on Shabbos, the Shir, the minimum amount, which constitutes a Shir Chashivus, an amount of prominence, which is considered a Malacha, is a revius. When we discuss wine, a revius of diluted wine is considered a Shir Chashiv. But if it is undiluted wine, highly concentrated wine, you don't have to have a revius. Even a quarter of that amount is enough, because with a quarter a revius of Yayin Chayev, undiluted wine, you can produce a revius of diluted wine. Working with the formula of one part wine mixed with three parts water. So if it's Yayin Chay, undiluted wine, a quarter of a revius is enough. If it's diluted wine, Yayin Mazud, you need a revius. Tani, Yavish Kezayis, Divi Rabbi Nassim. Rabbi Nassim maintains this concept that undiluted wine only needs a little bit, a small shear, because it can produce a full revius of diluted wine. That only applies to liquefied wine. But Yavish, if it's congealed and hardened, dried wine, that cannot produce anything. You can't mix it with water, and therefore you need a full shear. How much is a shear? A kezayis. Why a kezayis? Because a revius corresponds to kezayis. When a revius dries up, it forms a kezayis of solid matter. So according to Rav Nassim, since the shear of yayin is revius, that's when it's liquefied. And likewise, when it dries, you need a shear kezayis. Rabbanan de Kesri, the Rabbanan of Caesarea, Rabbi Yosi bar Bevi, said in the name of B'Shem Shmuel, I have a different approach to Rabbi Nassim's shita. Asya de Rabbi Nassim ke Rabbi Shimon. The point of Rabbi Nassim is not because once it's dried, it cannot be diluted. That's not the point. Rather, he's following Rabbi Shimon, discussed in the Mishnah Shabbos, any mashkin, any liquids, require an amount of a revius. Even undiluted wine, high quality, concentrated wine, needs to have a revius. Kamad Rabbi Shimon amab revius. Just as Rabbi Shimon tells us elsewhere, you need to have a sheer revius. Kain amar Rabbi Nassim revius. Likewise, Rabbi Nassim maintains a revius is a shear when it's liquid. So how does he get to kezayis? Very simple. Likashay yikarish. Because when that liquid wine congeals, it forms a kezayis. V'yeba kezayis. So since the shear is revius, the corresponding amount, the corresponding volume to that is a kezayis. That explains Rabbi Nassim's shit. So again, Rabbi Nassim makes a statement. Yain Yavish needs to have a kezayis. We have two approaches. Either, generally speaking, undiluted wine, highly concentrated wine, does not need a revius. Even a quarter of that amount is enough, because it can produce a revius of diluted wine. Yeah, that applies to liquefied wine. But Yavish, which cannot, in its current state, do much, you need a full shear, which is a kezayis that corresponds to the revius, because they're interchangeable. According to the second approach, Rabbi Nassim concurs with Rav Shimon's approach that holds that generally speaking, all liquids require a revius. Whether diluted wine, undiluted wine, it's always a revius, and therefore the corresponding shear in dry matter is a kezayis. The Gemara proceeds with a new topic. We know that an avela, an animal which dies, is metame. The buster is metame. All the edibles are metame, but the inedibles, like the bones, the hooves, the horns, are not metame. What about the blood, the dam of the nevel? Min HaTorah, apparently it's not metame. But there are some shittas, the machlekes, whether the chachamim applied a tumah even to the dam of a nevela, on account of its buster, things might get confused. You might mix up the dam with the buster, therefore they applied a tumah to the dam as well. Provided is a shear. What is a shear? As we just mentioned, if you want to match up liquid to solid, you have to work with the revius kezayis ratio. And since the shear of the Tumas Nevela by Basar is a Kazayis, correspondingly the shear that the Chacham would apply by the Dam is if it has the required shear, which is a Revius. Says one Shita, that there is a Tumah Derabanan, even on Dam Nevela, provided it has a Revius. The other approach is, it's actually on Chagis B'Sham B'Sil, the other approach is, that no, there is no Tumah on Dam Nevela, even Derabanan. So the Gemara proceed with the discussion on this topic. We have lots of names. Don't get confused. It's really just one thread going through the whole sukkah. Is Dam Nevela tar completely? Or is it Tamim Midrabanan provided is a sheer revius? The Gemara begins with a story. Rabbi Simon said in the name of B'Shem of Shomalevi, Ma'aseh B'Predas Rabbi Shemesa. The story that the Rabbi the Nasi, his mule died v'tiaru as dama mishum nevelu, and the chachamim will metaher the dam of this mule. They did not consider it tummy on account of nevelu. Now there are two ways to look at this story. They will metaher because dam nevelu is not tummy, or because it had less than a shear. V'shal Rabbi Eliezer asked Esra b'Simon, ad kama, until what point will they metaher? So this was a loaded question, meaning it's ways to understand the story. Was it tar completely, regardless of the shiur, because dam nevela is tar, or was it because there was only a small amount there? It was less than a revius. So which way is it? Rabbi Simon did not respond, didn't pay attention to the question. So Rabbi Eliezer proceeded. Vishal the Rabbi Shimon Levi. So he went to the source. It was Rabbi Simon who said over in the same of Shimon Levi, right? So he went back to the source of Shimon Levi, and he asked him the same question. And he responded to him, Ad Revius Tar. The reason why it was Tar was because it was less than a Revius. That was the point. Until Revius, it's Tar. Yoiser mi Revius Tami. But certainly past that, it's Tami. Because according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, the psak and the household of Rebbe was not that Dama Nevela is Tar completely. The psak was that if it has less than a shear, it's tar. But certainly if it has a revius, it's tummy. We're going to learn soon that the paisik, the in-house paisik in the home of the nasir, of Rebbe, was actually Rabbi Yehuda, who interestingly enough, in Meseches Idyas, I think, says that, that the dam nevela is tummy. So the shittas really match up. So in any case, that was his version, Shimon Levi's version, that certainly dam nevela is tamei midrabanan if it has the right shear. Ubash l'Rabbi Eliezer, who asked this question first to Rabbi Simon, and was not paid attention to, he was upset. Al d'lechazer l'Rabbi Simon shmiot. Why Rabbi Simon did not respond to him, not give him this information? Okay, Gemara stops here and continues with another story. Rabbevi avayosiv masni hadenuvda. Rabbevi was sitting and saying over this story, this incident that occurred in the house of Rebbe, with the prey that died, the Chacham will metire the dam. Omele Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbisna, Gohena, up until this point, meaning, I'd like to know what happened there. Basically the same question. Ad Rebbe is tar, Yoyse Mekan Tami, up until what point would they metire? Was it because it was less than Rebbe's? And the point was, Ad Rebbe is tar, because it was less than a shear. Yoyser mekan tummy, but past that it's tummy because really dam nevela is tummy. Is that what happened there? Or perhaps they ruled that dam nevela is completely tar. Which way is it? Uboatpe. So Rav Yitzchak was the one who asked it to Rav Beivoy, and Boatpe he kicked him. Perhaps not literally. It just means he ignored him. He didn't respond. He didn't pay much attention to his question. The Kabbalah 8 says, Garbai. He didn't respond nicely to him. Amalei Rabbi Zrika. So Rabbi Zrika turned to Rav Beivai. And he admonished him. Begin the Shalach. Just because he asked you a Shailan Halach, at Bapa, you kick him? Amar Lei, so he responded, I didn't have the right frame of mind, the right yishuv hadas, to relate properly to his question. Begin the loy havas daiti bi, since I didn't have my proper mindset, but itnabe, I kicked him away. Why? What was wrong? Because I had parnosa issues. I'm in a constant state of insecurity with respect to parnosa. The Amar Rabbi Chanan, v'hayu chayecha tluim l'cha mineged. There's a pasuk in the Teichacha. Your life will be hanging in the balance. Will be living a life of insecurity. Zeshalekeach chitim l'shana, referring to a person who purchases his food supply once a year. He doesn't have a farm, his own source of chitim. He has to buy his chitim out in the marketplace. He'll never know whether it's going to be available, have enough money to purchase. So he's living in a constant state of insecurity. Upochadto laila v'yomim. This is a higher state of insecurity. He'll be gripped with pachad night and day. Zelekech min asitki. This is a fellow that relies on the wholesaler. Once a week he goes and picks up his wheat. He never knows whether he'll run out, or he'll run out of money. So he's living in a constant state of insecurity. V'leitamen v'chayecha, that's a third level. He won't have any emunah, any trust, any security at all. Zelekech min apalter. It's a person purchasing from the baker. Once a day he goes to the store to buy his bread. He'll never know whether it's there, whether it's not, whether they run out, whether they'll have enough funds to purchase bread. So that's the most extreme state of insecurity. V'anosa michna apalter. And look at me, this is a baby speaking. I belong in the third category. I depend on the palter for my sustenance. And therefore, he was explaining himself. I'm living in a state of insecurity. At that point, I didn't have the right yishuv hadas, the right frame of mind to relate to his question properly. Okay, getting back to the halacha. Umao kedoin. What's the conclusion regarding dam nevel? Is it tar completely? Or does it have a tumah midrabanan? And the shear is revius, which corresponds to the shear kezayis of the basar. Says the Gemara, heyed Rabbi Yishuv ben Peseira. Some have agreed Rabbi Yishuv ben Peseira. He testified al dam nevel shu tar. The Gemara assumes he meant completely tar. There's no tumah at all to nevel, to dam nevel. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Ma'o tar. Maybe when we say tar melahachshe. We mean that it doesn't have the ability to be machshir, something to be mekabel tumah. We know there are seven mashkim, primary liquids, which when they fall on fruit and get them wet, those fruit become hukshir, become enabled for tumah. One of those liquids is dam, but it's unique to dam shchita. But dam coming from a wound of an animal, or likewise in this case, dam nevela, it's termal achshir. Only dam shchita is unique in a sense that the Torah refers to it like water. Has the same quality, has the same halachic qualities as what? But otherwise, other types of dam, like dam nevela, doesn't have the din of mine, doesn't have the din that it can be machshir something like kabel tumah. So perhaps that's what we meant when we said tar. Tar min lahachshir. Aval atamis min tamim. But perhaps dam nevela can be mitami. So even when Rabbi Shuvim Maseira says it's tar, not necessarily does it mean it's completely tar. Or even when in the house of Rebbe, they pask and they rule that the dam and nevela is tar, doesn't necessarily mean completely tar. It can't be machshir, but perhaps it's mitami. Says the more you can't say that. Because taman tanina, we learned elsewhere in the Mishnah, dam asheretz kibsori. If you have a sheretz, for instance, a lizard, so the dam of that sheretz has the same din as the basar of sheretz. By a sheretz, you know, the blood and the flesh, it's all one mush, it's not two distinct entities. Different than an animal which has basar and dam, it's two separate things. Here the sheretz, it's one entity. And it's metame v'ene machshir. The dam of the sheretz has this, the tumah of the basar, it's metame. They both have the same shear of a kadosha, lentils, size of a lentil. A basar or a dam of a sheretz is metame v'ene machshir. That dam doesn't have chashivas. It doesn't qualify to be machshir something. It doesn't have the chashivas of true dam. And the mission continues, v'ein lanu kayetze boi. We have no other example of such a unique halach. where the dam is metame but not machshir. So that's the Mishnah there. Getting back to our discussion, you were proposing that when we spoke about dam nevela being tar, it meant that it can't be machshir, but it is metame. But this Mishnah clearly tells us we don't have another example of such a phenomenon. Dam being metamer but not machshir. That's unique to dam asheretz. Apparently, when we speak about dam nevela being tar, we meant completely tar. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. Vishir to masa. Perhaps what's unique about sheretz is the shir of dam. Shedame metamer kibsari. We have something unique by sheretz, which we don't find anywhere else. What is that? That the dam is metame with the same shear as the basar. The basar of a sheretz is metame, provided it has a share of kadasha, like a lentil. And the dam likewise has that same shear. The dam and basar of a sheretz are so closely linked and related, they have the same shear. That's unique by sheretz, which that's something which you don't find anywhere else. And therefore, perhaps, dam nevela is metame. When we speak about dam nevela being tar, we meant it can't be machshir, but it is metame. Although the Mishnah tells us that something to be metame, not be machshir, is unique and is only found by sheretz, that's not what the Mishnah meant. That phenomenon can be found elsewhere as well. For instance, by nevela. It's metame, but not machshir. What's unique about sheretz is the sheer aspect. That the dam and basar have the same shear, whereas by nevela, they don't have the same shear. Basar and nevela needs a kazayis. The dam and nevela is a revius, which is a different type of shear. Concludes the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosi, actually it's a machlekes. Pligi batuin amaroin, it's a machlekes between two amaroin. This question whether dam nevela is matame or not. Chadam ratame, vechadam ratar. One says tame, one says tar. Madam ratame, the one that holds tame, krab yudu. Follows Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, as we mentioned earlier, he's the one that maintains that the Chacham applied a Tumah to Dam Nevela. Umadam Ator, Kavi Shuvah and Pesera. The one that says Tar is following Shuvah and Pesera, as we just mentioned, who testified that Dam Nevela is Tar. Amalei Rav Avduma, Dimin Nechuta. Rav Avduma from the town of Nechuta turned to him and he said, yeah, V'yo, it's correct. You've said it correctly. The Rabbi Yehuda Moraino de Bein Nesiav. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds Tameh because he was the one that ruled in the home of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He was the Moiraina, the Paisek, the in-house Paisek of the Vednesi, of the home of the Nasi. And we hear from that story that he is Metameh. The story where the Preda of Rabbi died. And Chacham said the Dam is Tahar, but as we explained earlier, Rabbi Shmuel Levi explained matters. It was only tar because it was less than a shear, indicating that if it would have a shear of a revius, it would be tamei. So this reflects Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rabbi Yehuda was a paisik in that household, and he indeed holds that dam nevela is tamei. So conclusion, dam of a nevela, some say it's completely tar, some say there's a tumah derabbanan provided and has a shear revius. The reason why it has a tumah derabbanan, because asid lemichlef might be exchanged with the meat, people might not tell them apart, the blood from the flesh, and therefore it has a shear, has a din tumah, and the shear of tumah's dam nevela corresponds to the shear of the basar nevela. Since basar nevela is metame b'kazayis, what is the corresponding shear by liquid? Why, as we mentioned earlier, the liquid which hardens, how much liquid which hardens to a kazayis, how much liquid is needed? A revius. And that's why the shear tumah is a revius. Shema yane v'yamir b'chul. Going back to the Mishnah, where this fellow would walk into the lishka, the chamber which housed the machzor shekel coins, to perform trumas halishka. And we learned that he's meant to conduct himself in a manner which prevents any appearance of wrongdoing and dishonesty. We don't want to suspect that he pocketed any money. Tani Rabbi Yishmael, Kavos, one that has long hair, perhaps a braided hair or a ponytail. Lo yitrim, he shouldn't be involved in Trumas Alishka. Why? He might arouse suspicion. He might think, well, he put some money in his hair. Tani, well, in Tanabraisa, Hagizburn, Hayumafaspisin Bekilkil. They would straighten out any knotted hair, any knots in his clothing, so there are no hidden pockets to hide some coins. Tani, Medabrin Hayuimai, the Shemrim, the guards, would keep him engaged in conversation. What's going on? What's news? Mishashu nichnas achashu yaitze. From the moment he entered until the moment he walked out. This way, he has no chance of putting any money in his mouth and perhaps swallowing money. They'll keep him talking. Vimali poimoy. Why do we have to keep him engaged in conversation? We have a simple solution. Fill his mouth with water and keep it filled the entire time. Omrav tanchuma, we have bracha. A problem because he has to make a bracha. His mouth is filled with water, he can't make a bracha. So that wasn't an option. Rather, they would keep him talking the whole time. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman sent in the name of B'Shem Rabbi Yonason. But Torah, B'Nevi'im, B'Ksuvim. We find throughout Tanakh, in Torah we have a source, in Nevi'im, in Ksuvim, that a person has to account for. Impressions. Matzonu Sha'odam Tzorech Lotzei Sidabris. One has to satisfy the Brius as well. He's accountable for creating a wrong impression. He must conduct himself with integrity in a way that will eliminate any chashash of people suspecting wrongdoing. Sh'tzorach adam lotzeis hidi abriyes k'derach shu tzorach lotzeis hidi amokim. Just as if you have to be accountable to Hashem, you have to make sure to create the right impression amongst your peers. But Torah minayin, where is the source from Torah? Yachsiv v'yisim nekim Hashem v'Yisrael. Have to be clean from Hashem, but also from Yisrael. Create the right impression. But Nevi'im minayin, where is the pasuk in Nevi'im? Yachsiv keil l'kim Hashem v'goyim v'Yisrael hu yeda. This was when the Bnei Reuven made a mizbeach, Eivar l'yardin, and there was room for a chashash that perhaps it was for Avodah Zarah, and they responded, no. Yisrael must know, it must be clear to them, this is not something inappropriate. So we see that you have to clear your reputation. Make sure you're not creating any impression of wrongdoing. But ksuv minayin, where is the source in ksuv? Nechsiv, the pasuk in Mishlei, umotzochin v'seichel toiv, bein elkim v'adam, make sure to find favor in the eyes of Hashem and people. Gamliel Zuga, Gamliel, who was a matchmaker, that was his profession, professional shadchan, shalar b'yaisi b'rabi bun. He asked Rabbi Yisrael Bun the following question. We have three sources. Which one do you think is the most powerful source? Which drives home the point the best way? Amar Lei, he said, it's actually the Pasuk in Chumash. That one really, really teaches us the lesson. Make sure you're clean, you have the right reputation. What's wrong with the other Pasukim? So the Farshim say, the Pasuk describing the Mizbeach, El Kim Hashem, Yisrael Yeda, that was to clear the air. They did something which created a bad impression. Mizbeach, perhaps it looks like it's Avodah Zarah. So they have to go and clear the air, clear the reputation, undo the wrong impression they already made. The Pasuk of Mitzachim V'Sechat Toiv, perhaps the Pshat here is, if one conducts his life appropriately in Torah and Mitzvahs, Hashem will endow him with this schus, that will find favor in the eyes of people. But not necessarily is it an instruction on the person to go pursue chayin v'seichatoy. That's why we have the third pasuk, Yisim Nekiyim, Masham Yisrael, which really drives home the point. You must ensure that the way you conduct your lifestyle is in a way which creates good impressions and avoids any, even slight impressions of wrongdoing. It says the Mishnah Shel Beis Rabban Gamliel, there was a representative coming from the household of Rabban Gamliel, who was a Nasi. He used to do as follows. Hoya nichnas. He would come just in time when the Gizbor would arrive into the Lishka to do Trumas Alishka, to remove some funds to fund the Karbanas Tzibur. And the fellow who represented the home of Rabban Gamliel, he would ensure that his coin, the coin that he was bringing along from the Rabban Gamliel's home, would actually be part of the Trumas Alishka. He didn't want to remain behind and the Alishka be considered Shirayim. He wanted that coin should be used. That very coin should supply the Karbanis Tzibur. And since not all coins would end up being used for Karbanis, he would stand there in the nick of time and pitch his coin right to the fellow who was scooping up the coins for Trumas Alishka. This way, that coin ended up in the bucket used for the Karbanis. He would enter for this coin between his fingers. He would wait for the right moment and pitch it right in. He would toss it in front of the fellow doing Trumas Alishka. And the Torim would follow, cooperate, and scoop it into the container for Trumas Alishka, which was eventually used for Karbanis Tzibur. Eina Torim Torim, this individual who would do the Trumas Alishka, he would not proceed with Truma until he made an announcement and he got permission. Achu Emerlem, until he turns to them, whether it's the Bezdin or whatever, he would turn to them and ask, Atroim, should I withdraw these funds? Vein Emerlem, they respond, Troim, yeah, sure, do it. Troim, Troim, Sholish Pam, three times. Some explained that this was a back and forth. Should I be Troim? Troim. Etroim, Troim, Etroim, Troim. So it's done three times. The point was, again, to avoid suspicion, or perhaps people might think he's going in there to pocket some money. No. He would make a public announcement, a public scene. Should I do Truma? Yes. Three times over. We find many times in Gemara Mishnayos that the Lashon Chachamim was done three times over. Perhaps there's some deeper meaning to it. We find by Ktzira Sa'imer, we find by Hatar Sandarim, Mutalcha, Mutalcha, Mutalcha. So it was done three times over. So how would he do Trumas Alishka? Torah Masarish Shaina, he would remove from the first bucket, V'chiba Bakat Valiyais, and he would cover with some leather mat. Now before we proceed, I meant to know there are several approaches, actually two main ways of explaining this whole concept, this process, the Trumas Alishka procedure. There's Rabbeinu Avadim Patanura, the Rav, and there's the Rambam. Many Mefarshim follow the Rambam, who explains as follows. The Machzor Shekel coins would arrive, starting from Rosh Chodesh, before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and fill up this room called a Lishka, this chamber which housed all those coins. The Rambam explains that on the first day of Nisan, you would do the Trumas HaLishka in two stages. Firstly, we mentioned this yesterday. You would take large, very large sized containers, kupois, each one with a 9 sa'ah capacity. So you have 9 liter containers, big, huge ones. And you would fill them with the coins of the Lishka. So that was the first phase. Take 3 large sized containers, 3 kupois, fill them up with coins. The coins contained therein were meant to supply the entire year's karbanis. That's it. You only removed coins from the Lishka once a year, at the beginning of the year. But that was only the first step in Trumas HaLishka. Then, says the Rambam, you would proceed with smaller sized buckets, containers, each one with a 3 sa'ah capacity. And you would do as follows. You have 3 small containers, and you approach the large containers. Now the 3 small ones were called Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. We learned yesterday each one was labeled. You take Aleph and walk over to the large container. And you scoop some coins and you fill this small container with those coins. You take Beis, the next small container. You approach the large container, the large kupa, and you scoop out a kupa fill of coins. You do the same thing to the third one. You take the third bucket, you walk over to the large container, and scoop out coins. This took place Aleph Nisan. And now you completed the Trumas HaLishka procedure, and use the coins within these small buckets to purchase karbanis. Now this process would repeat itself before Shavuos and before Sukkos, meaning you wouldn't add more coins from the chamber, from the Lishka, into the large containers, no. But rather, you would take the small buckets and approach the large buckets again. So you take one bucket and scoop out from the large container. You take the next bucket, scoop out again. Third bucket, scoop out again. Use that money until Sukkos. Sukkos time again, you repeat this process. So that's how the Rambam explains Al Mishnah. Let's see inside. Torah Meser Yishayna. Torah means, you know, you separated some funds. You withdrew some coins. You took a small size bucket. You approached the large container. You took out some coins. V'chipa bekatav lios. Then you covered the large container with some leather mats. This way you know you've already taken some coins from that container. Hashnia. And you approached the next container. We're speaking about the large sized containers. You take a small bucket, you approach the second container, you scoop out some coins. Again, you cover it with leather mats, v'chipa b'kativ lois. Hashlishis, when you did it with the third, loya machape, you wouldn't cover it any longer. And the point was, because next time around, before Shavuos, you'll begin scooping from the third container. You start with number three, and then go back to one and two. The third time around, Sukkot time, you'll begin with two, over to three, back to one. The point was to give them all an equal chance, so that all large containers will contribute evenly to all different types, to all three small buckets, to give them each a chance. So we'd rotate, and again, first time it's large container one, then two, then three. Shavuos time, you begin from three, three, two, three, one, two. And Sukkot time, it's two, three, one. So Hashlishi Lo Yemachape, when he scooped up from the third container, right, this is Pesach time, he scooped from number one, from two, and he ended with three. He didn't cover that. The point was, you should remember, this is the one that was last. This way you can begin from it next time. Next time you start from number three. What was the point of covering to begin with? So you shouldn't forget and take more coins from the container from which you already took coins. This way you cover it to indicate you've already approached that container. So he has these small buckets. He's approaching the large containers. The first scoop is L'shem Eretz Yisrael. He had the people of Eretz Yisrael in mind. Vashnia, with the second bucket, right, he approached the second container, took a scoop. That was L'shem Krachem HaMukafim Lo. Who did he have in mind here? For the sake of the cities which are in close proximity to Eretz Yisrael. Vashlishis, the third scoop from the third container was L'shem Bava, L'shem Madai. He had in mind the people of Bava, Madai, L'shem Medina, Sarachaytos, for the fellows living far away from Eretz Yisrael. Now the truth is, as we're going to see in the Gemara, he really had anybody, everybody in mind. Shem Kol Yisrael. During all scoops, during all three seasons of the year, because everybody has to have an equal part in the Korbanos Tzibur. So these coins, which is going to scoop up, are inevitably going to represent all of Yisrael. But as the Mefarshim explained, based on the Gemara back on the base, he wanted to highlight the fact that everybody has a part. So he sort of was making an announcement, this is for Eretz Yisrael, this is for Bavel, this is for... So everybody should realize that they're meant to take a part in the Yishkolim, even though you're living far away. You're meant to send in your Yishkolim to have a chelik in Korban Tzibur. So that's why he would announce his intention. So again, just to summarize, according to the Rambam, the coins would arrive into this Lishka, beginning of the year, Aleph Nisan. They would take large, very large sized containers, each one containing 9 sa'ah. They would fill it with coins. And that was the initial stage of the Trumas HaLishka procedure. And then he would take small sized buckets, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, and scoop out from those large sized containers. He would do it 3 times a year. And the money contained in the small sized buckets were used to purchase the korbanos. Says the Gemara, Shabbos Rangam Liel v'chul. So this fellow would pitch his coin at the right moment, the right place, to get it into the Trumas Halishka. What's the point? Says the Gemara, Ilu Hayushnei Kriyim. Suppose a person has two piles of grain. V'tarim Echad Men Al Chavir. And he removes Truma for one pile, having the other one in mind as well, to be mighty the other one. Doesn't that work? Shemalei Pata Chavir. You don't think it exempts the other one? Truma can account for everything. Trumas Halishka encompasses everything that was in that room. What was the benefit of pitching this coin into the Trumas Halishka bucket? Hanachas Ruach Ilahem. You're right, halachically there's no difference, but it satisfied them. Shelo Yehi Karban Meskarev Ela Meshalahem Tchila. They wanted that the carbon should be purchased from their coins. And Tchila means that right away they wanted that their coins should be the first ones used. That's why he would position himself in a strategic way so that his coin would end up perhaps on the top of the bucket so that it would be used first, meaning to supply the first carbonis of the year. Tani went to Nebraisa, Shamat es hakatav lios. So he took a small bucket, went over to the large container, and removed some funds, covered it with some leather. Suppose he pulled out the mat and the coins contained in that large container spilled out and went back into the lishka. Now we have trouble. Nasu kulin shirayim. They're all considered like shirayim, like leftovers. We don't know which one's what. You can no longer use them for karbanis. Tani, we learned in a brisa, shlishis, by the time they executed the third stage, meaning the withdrawal, sukkah's time, by that time, the lishka was filled with gold. He oisai shir shibikul, and that was the most usher, the wealthiest of all. Why? Because remember, the ones living far away from Eretz Yisrael, by the time their coins would arrive, it would already be perhaps sukkah's time, and since it was coming from a distance, they would perhaps convert it to gold coins to make for easier transport. That's why the lishka at that time was filled with gold coins. Shoyuba is Teriye Shalzov, Vedarkon Shalzov, all types of gold coins as a result of the latest shipment coming from the faraway lands. Tani, we'll enter a brisa. Torah Meserishoino, Lashem Eretz Yisrael, Ulashem Kol Yisrael. He takes his small sized buckets, approaches the large containers. So the first scoop from the bucket number one, scooping from container number one, was L'shem Eretz Yisrael, that was for the sake of the people in Eretz Yisrael, or L'shem Kol Yisrael. Of course, he had everybody in Yisrael in mind. So technically, it applied to everybody. But he highlighted, he was Madgish, it's for Eretz Yisrael. Shnei L'shem Krachem Mekafim. The second scoop, he announced, this is for the cities, the inhabitants of the cities next to Eretz Yisrael. So Mukafa means the city is next to Eretz Yisrael. Ulashem Kol Yisrael. And he added, of course, this is for all of Yisrael as well. Vashlishis, and the third scoop was Lashem Bavel, Umadai, Ulashem Medinus Rechaikos. And of course, he concludes again, Ulashem Kol Yisrael. Tani went on a brisa. Notal min Rishon. So again, we have the large containers and these small buckets. He takes bucket Aleph, approaches the large container number one, and takes a scoop. Afal b'sheish b'rishon, although there is many coins left still in the first large container, he didn't empty it, he just took a small scoop. He doesn't go back to the first one, rather, he takes the next container, the next small size container, and approaches the second large size container and scoops from there. When he's done taking the second one, afal b'sheish b'shnei, although there's lots of coins remaining there, he proceeds to the third, the large container, and takes from there. That was the way to do it. Take a bit from here, a bit from here, a bit from here. We actually learned the other day that there's a remez from the pasuk shlishis hashekel b'shana. Everything is meant to be done in three sums. So we have three large containers, three buckets, and we alternate back and forth. Everybody gets a fair chance, and everybody's involved in funding Karbanis Tzibur. So he scooped from the first one, he scooped from the second one, scooped from the third. Now suppose the coins in these small containers were depleted, completely used up. before Shavuos comes. It's not yet time for the second season, the second designated date for Trumas HaLishkot. So what do? Certainly you go back to the large containers and you scoop again. So if initially he did it, one, first bucket, taking some money out of the first container. Bucket number two, or base, I should say Aleph and base, scooping from the second container. And Gimel, scooping from the third container. So now when he ran out, when those funds were depleted, he has to go re-scoop, refill those small containers. He would begin with Gimel. Right? As we mentioned in the Mishnah, it's always back and forth. You have to alternate. This way they all have an equal share in all three buckets. So he begins with three. Right? It was one, two, three. They all got finished. So he starts with three, giving the third large container a chance to be the first one this time. So he begins with three. Then he goes back to two. And he goes back to one. So he scoops, takes a third container, scoops from the third large container, takes the second bucket, and scoops from the second large container, takes the first bucket, and scoops from the first large container. Let's say money is depleted again. He begins the process again. Bucket number one from container number one. Bucket number two from container number two. Bucket number three from container number three. Money is depleted again. So he starts again. Bucket number three from container three. Suppose at this point, container three has been emptied. There's nothing left in the large container as well. Shomo Shlishis, the third one, become empty. Chozer L'Shniyah. So he goes back to number two to scoop out the remaining funds in large container number two. Shomo Shniyah, the second one is depleted. Chozer L'Rishonah. He goes back to number one. Shomo Shlashtan. What if all large containers have been depleted? What should we do now? Chozer V'Shoikel. You have to make another appeal. Rabbi Yisai, send in another Matzah Shekel. You cannot use the coins that are left behind in the Lishka. That's Shirayim. That doesn't have the same Kedusha any longer. It's been relegated to Shirayim and cannot be used for the Karbanis. Rather, you make another collection of a Matzah Shekel anew. Rabbi Yisai, Chozer L'Shirayim. There's no problem. You can go back to the Shirayim because initially, the Shirayim were really reserved as a backup for such a situation. Sheh Rameh Omer, Moilim B'Shirayim. Rameh holds, if one benefits even from the Shirayim coins, he has committed Me'ilah. Why? Tanakhama disagrees. He says Shirayim, it doesn't have the same condition. Rameh says, yeah, it does. Why? Shami Yitztarach Lan B'Soif, because initially we knew that they may serve as a backup, and therefore they also acquired the same Kedusha. In a sense, they have the same Kedusha as a Trumas HaLishka. Therefore, Rameya says, if one has Anah, he's committed Me'ilah. And likewise, in our case, when they ran short, animal prices rose that year, whatever it was, they ran short, they can revert to the Shirayim and use it to supply the Karbanas Tzibur. Continues the Gemara, V'chein, Hoya Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyim, the famous price, the whole Sefer Mesil Sesharm, based on this price. Now, what is Bechein? What is the connection here? So I saw some pshatim as follows. Simple pshat is that it's a continuation of the previous concept. Rameyer says, even the leftover monies were really designated initially to be used in a time of need as a backup for the Karbanos Tzibur. So we see that a person must have things in mind. You have to think ahead. You have to live a life of cheshbon. Pre-plan your life with zahiras and zarizas and diligence. So that takes up to the Braisa, which highlights the importance of zahiras, of zarizas. There's another pshat that we're going to discuss in the kiyas as well. Make sure you have a good reputation. Clean yourself of any possible suspicions. And that relates to the story of Rav Gamliel. Of the fellow going into the Trumas HaLishka room there, to do it in a way which is avoids any impression of wrongdoing. That's the concept of Nekiyim, Bisim Nekiyim Hashem Yisrael. Another pshat, we discuss Zrizis in this brisa, which was demonstrated by Rav Gamliel's shliach, who would make sure to be the first one there, his coin should be used, tchila, for the karbanis, and that's a true demonstration of diligence and zehiris. Continues the Gemara, V'chein haya, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yor Omer. He would say as follows. There's a ladder of spiritual success. There's a roadmap for spiritual success as follows. Zrizus, if a person is diligent, Mevi'el adenikis, a person is zoriz in mitzvahs, he thinks ahead, he does things diligently, but Zrizus, it brings him to nikis. Nikis means, as Yisrael Sharm explains, he's cleansed of any tinge of wrongdoing. So when you fill your life with positive experiences, there's no room for anything else. So he gets freed from any wrongdoing. Nikius, mivil de tahara. When a person achieves that level of nikius, that brings him to the next level, purity. So although he's cleansed of any practical wrongdoing, it doesn't mean that his intent is pure, his machshava is pure, perhaps he has ulterior motives. That's the next step. Tahara, pure mind, pure motives. Tahara, if one achieves that madrig of tahara, mevil de kedusha. Now he's zeicha to be endowed with a higher measure of kedusha from Hashem. If you do what's incumbent on you, a person maximizes his effort, he's zeicha to siyata d'shmaya to kedusha. Kedusha mevil de anava. If a person achieves the madrig of kedusha, he feels so connected to Hashem, he doesn't view himself as a separate entity. He's so connected and so bottled to Hashem, he lives a life of utmost humility. Anova mevil de yerschet. Once he experiences that, by him, ruchni, spirituality, is reality. He's very sensitive to chet. He has a pachad, a fear for chet. Yerschet mevil de chasidus. The next step is chasidus. Not only does he do what's needed, what's required, he goes beyond the letter of the law, lefnei mishur sadin. Once he does that, now he's zoyecha to a higher measure of siyad l'shmaya. You do something extra, Hashem gives you something extra as well. Chasidus mevi'el de ruch ha-kodesh. And what does that take you to? Ruch ha-kodesh mevi'el idei t'chiyas ha-meisim. If one is ruch ha-kodesh, he can be zoyecha even to be machai meisim through his tefillah. T'chiyas ha-meisim mevi'el idei Eliyahu zoyecha la-toy, there's several pshatim in this. Either the next step is he zoyecha to Eliyahu Navi visiting him, or the fact that he brings the world, at least his aspect of the world, to the Madrega of Tchiyas HaMeisim, he brings about the arrival of Eliyahu HaNavi, who actually precedes Tchiyas HaMeisim. That's the order of things. First Eliyahu HaNavi comes, and then Tchiyas HaMeisim. So this fellow who achieves the Dag of Tchiyas HaMeisim, he precipitates the arrival of Eliyahu, which precedes Tchiyas HaMeisim in the world. There's another pshat, the name of the Rabbeim of the Ritva, the Radbaz brings this. He said there are two stages of Tchiyas HaMeisim, one for Tzadikim, one for everybody else. So first we speak about Tchiyas HaMeisim for the Tzadikim, and that comes to the next step of Eliyahu HaNavi, which precedes Tchiyas HaMeisim for everyone else. Now the Gemara is going to prove, how do we know that one thing leads to the next? Zrizus mevi'el de nikius, a person is a Zoris, that causes him to be cleansed of any wrongdoing, dechsiv, v'kila, mechaper, kila, indicates that he's hurrying up, he's finishing, completing, he's doing things with bezriz, mechaper. Mechaper is the remez that it brings to kapara, to purity, to nikius. Nikius mevil de tahara. Nikius leads to purity, purity of intent, of mind, dechsiv, v'chipar le'akoyin. So we see that kapara, cleansed of any wrongdoing, v'tahira brings to the higher level, cleansing of the mind and the intent. Tahara, mevi'el de kedusha, that endows a person with kedusha. Dechsiv v'tiaroi, what's the next level? V'kitcha, kedusha mevi'el de anava, that leads to humility. Dechsiv kikoy amar ram v'nisa, this is Hashem speaking. Sheichan ad v'kodesh shemoi, morim v'kodesh eshkan, I will dwell with one who is holy. There's dakosh falroch, with one who is exceptionally humble. So you see that kedusha v'kodesh eshkan leads to dakosh falroch, to anava. What's the next level? Anova mevi'el de yaschet, brings to a high degree of fear of chet. Dechsiv ekev anova. What does anova lead to? Yiras Hashem. Yiras chet mevi'el de chasidus. It brings a person to go a step beyond what's required. Dechsiv v'chesed Hashem oylam ad oylam al yireyav. So that yireyav, the yirei Hashem, arrive at the next level of chesed of chasidus. And finally, chasidus mevi'el de ruach hakodesh. A person endeavors to do things extra. Out of chesed, chesed is connected to ava. Right? Chesed is an extension of oneself, which is an expression of love. When a person expresses that inner love to Hashem, Hashem, I love you, you're my father, I'll do anything, even beyond what's required, that is mezakehim, with a high level of siyata d'shmaya, something which a human being can't really achieve on his own. Mevi'el de'ruch ha'kodesh. Tichsiv, oz de'barta b'chazin chasidecha, Hashem, you conversed with your chasidim. And the next level is, ruch ha'kodesh, mevi'el de'etos ha'mesin, tichsiv, v'nosati ruchi bochem, I will place my spirit within you. That's Ruach HaKodesh, and that leads to Tchias HaMeisim V'Chisim. Tchias HaMeisim brings to Elio, V'Vil De Elio HaNavi Zach HaToiv, Tchsiv, Hine Yonech Yishlech Lechem Es Elio HaNavi, V'Nei Ba Yem Hashem Agad V'Anoira. And next comes Tchias HaMeisim. So we see that when you arrive at the Madrig of Tchias HaMeisim, that heralds the arrival of Mashiach, of Elio HaNavi, which is meant to precede the actual implementation of Tchias HaMeisim. Tana b'shem Rameir. We learn the name of Rameir as follows. Kol mi shekavo b'Eretz Yisrael, one who resides in Eretz Yisrael. So he has the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. U'medaber b'lashon hakodesh, and he speaks in lashon hakodesh. So he's metayer his nefesh, his chayach hadibur as well. Not only that, v'oichel paryosa b'torah. He ensures that what he eats is Torah. So now he's mekadesh his guf as well. And finally, v'kira krishma b'kir b'erev. He ensures that he reads Krishna the morning and at night, in Mekayim, at a minimum, the Pasuk of Elgisa b'yoimam v'layla, by reading Krishna in the morning and at night. So he was completely Mekadosh himself in all his facets. You have the land where he's living, you have what he's eating, it's Mekadosh's guf. You have the dibur, the nefesh, through speaking Lashon HaKodesh. We have conversing in Torah, which is Mekadosh the neshama. So he's all covered. Yehi muvusar, Sheben Olam Habohu. This fellow is guaranteed, he's foretold that he is a resident, he has a good part in Olam Habohu. Hadron Loch Perek Voshlaja Prok. Says the Mishnah Truma, Mehoyu Oisimba. We speak about withdrawing funds from the Lishka. This withdrawal is called Truma Salishka. What would they do with those coins? Loikhan Batmidin, Umisafin. They would use it to purchase all the karbonis. Kabbarnas Tumit, Kabbarnas Musaf, Vinis Keim, and the Mesachim, the wine, the oil needed, Ha'omer, the carbon Omer, Shtei Alechem, for Shvuas, Lechem Aponim, burn on a weekly basis. V'chol Kabbarnas HaTzibur, and for all the public Kabbarnas. Now, what happened on Shemitah year? Where did they get the supply for the Menachas, for the Menachas HaOmer? Shemri Svichem B'Shviz, Svichem are the aftergrowths. So we have some loose kernels that somehow sprouted and produced stalks on Shviyas. You can't plant, but it just happened on its own. So that was meant to be reserved for the Beis HaMikdash. They positioned some shomrim, some guards there, to ensure that nobody takes away those svichim, which were needed for the Beis HaMikdash. So those fellows, those shomrim, svichim and Shviyas, noitlan schorim et Trumas HaLishka. They would receive their pay from Trumas HaLishka because this certainly was a public need. It was a tzorech kabbarnas tzibur. Rabbi Yosi Omer, you didn't necessarily have to pay them. Af haroitze, if somebody wishes, he can volunteer. Misnadev shemechinim, he can volunteer to do it for free. Omer, like the Chacham disagreed. They said, no. There's a problem with that. Because if they do it for free, in effect, there zoich, the Rosh says, habata behefker kana. If one just peers, he gazes at hefker, he's kana. So it's really there grain. Now, Korban Tzibur is meant to be publicly owned. You can't use a private donation for Korban Tzibur. And you agree to that. You also agree, Shein Boy and El Mishal Tzibur, that the Korban Tzibur needs to be contributed by the Tzibur, strictly by the Tzibur. In this case, it's going to be a private contribution. Therefore, rather pay them. By paying them, either you're purchasing it from them, or the fact that they're doing it for pay, they won't be zoichet for themselves. Rather, they'll pick it up and give it to us, and it's going to be publicly owned rather than privately owned. Rabbi Yossi apparently holds no concern because even if they're zoichet, they'll give it back to the tzibur. They'll grant it wholeheartedly to the tzibur, and now it will be regarded as publicly owned and suitable for the currency. Okay, let's do a brief chazar of today's daf. We discussed that the Shir Kazayis in a solid item corresponds to revius in liquid. When a machlekes, whether dam nevela is tohar completely, or perhaps it's tamei midrabanan, provided it has a shear. We discussed the requirement of being meticulous in creating a good impression amongst people as well. We proceeded with the Mishnah describing the entire process of Tumas Halishka. We had a description of the spiritual ladder which we're meant to climb, and what they would do on Shemitah. Kol Tov, Hatzlacha Rabbah.